ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो हरे कृष्ण सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम 8th कैंटो चैप्टर 22 एक्चुअली ओनली टेक्स्ट 6 इज रिटन बट 6 एंड 7 आर टुगेदर हियर So we'll read only 6. Yasmin vairanu bandhena viudhena vibhudhe taraha bahavo lebhire siddhim yam uhai kanta yoginah Actually, there is second verse. Together they are both there, so I'll read the second verse, 7. Tenaham nigrohito smi bhavata bhuri karmana baddhascha varunai pasher nati vire nacha vyathe. Translations of both the verses. Many demons who were continuously inimical towards you finally achieved the great mystic yogis, perfection of the great mystic yogis. Your lordship can perform one work to serve many purposes, and consequently, although you have punished me in many ways, I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varun, nor do I feel aggrieved. Purport. Bali Maharaj appreciated the Lord's mercy not only upon him but upon many other demons. Because this mercy is liberally distributed, the Supreme Lord is called all merciful. Bali Maharaj was indeed a fully surrendered devotee, but even some demons who were not at all devotees but merely enemies of the Lord attained the same exalted position achieved by many mystic yogis. Thus, Bali Maharaj could understand that the Lord had some hidden purpose in punishing him. Consequently, he was neither unhappy nor ashamed because of the awkward position in which he has been put by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, we are going through this narration where Bali Maharaj has surrendered his life to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I think in this chapter, from the second verse, Bali Maharaj is expressing his prayers. In the first verse, Sukhdev Goswami says, O King, means Sukhdev Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit, O King Parikshit, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mischievously towards Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination. Considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise, he spoke as follows. So, Sukhdev Goswami is narrating this narration to Maharaj Parikshit, who is actually in somewhat similar situation to Bali Maharaj. Both have lost their kingdom. Means Parikshit Maharaj could have kept the kingdom for 7 days, but finally he was going to lose it, so he voluntarily gave it up, understanding that the aim of life is to remember Krishna, Ante Narayana Smriti, and not to go on managing our material existence till the last moment of life. Srila Prabhupada criticizes this tendency in the present day world, where people want to go on with their material affairs till the last moment of life. They want to manage their bank accounts, they want to manage their whatever it is. Even though the body is about to die in the hospital, deathbed, in the ICU, they may be managing, telling the wife or the son that this bank account has this password and that I had some secret account that has no, I will tell you that the papers have been kept in that house, in our farmhouse, in village or something. So even though they are in ICU and about to give up their body, we see that they are still entangled in their management of the material world. But here we see Maharaj Parikshit, he had accepted the position of king only to satisfy the Supreme Lord and to carry out the mission of the Supreme Lord, to see that the laws of God are established in the material world. And when the time came, means it's something like modern age, it's not that Maharaj Parikshit had his full life and then he retired and then he gave up his body. It was a sudden accident for him. We see many of us might face such accidents. Within 7 days or within short time, a death may come upon us. So it came upon Maharaj Parikshit, and then he thought, enough is enough. Like Jesus Christ, he's told that, let the dead bury the dead. You move on. So Maharaj Parikshit said, anyway, the kingdom is going to go on. I may do some management for 7 days. He could have thought, let me set up the kingdom in a nice way in this coming 7 days so that it will be carried on nicely afterwards. But he knew anyway the things are happening by the control of Supreme Lord Krishna. So he took this great disadvantageous position. In one way it was a great disadvantage, his kingdom was lost. See, he is such a powerful person, even Kali was afraid of him. He chastised Kali. There was not a single king who can oppose him. But just by the curse of a Brahmana, this boy, and even though Maharaj Parikshit could have actually given a counter curse, freeing himself from the curse, but he understands it as an arrangement of Krishna. So he completely renounces and goes to the bank of Ganga at Shuktal, and the Supreme Lord arranges that Shukdev Goswami walks in over there. And now this Bhagavatam is taking place, 8th canto, and this is good that Shukdev Goswami is telling that although the Supreme Lord acted mischievously towards Bali Maharaj, actually in a similar way, Maharaj Parikshit was cursed severely for not his so big mistake. So it is saying some mischief. Maharaj Parikshit's mistake was actually very negligible. Even the sage did not take it seriously, just threw the snake. And he was cursed very severely for a small mistake. And here we see Maharaj Bali is apparently cheated. He was asked for three footsteps of land, and he was a dwarf Brahmin boy, and Maharaj Bali said, okay, how much you can get in that? Even like if a dwarf Brahmin boy takes a long jump, how much land he can cover over? So he does that, he agrees, but then Maharaj Bali starts expanding himself, and by 1 foot he covers the earth, by second foot he covers the remaining of the universe. Even so, we know this story. So he was being cheated, and Maharaj Bali could have revolted. No, I did not give you the benediction when you are so big. I gave you benediction when you are small. No, you are cheating. So such arguments could have come out. So therefore, both are Maharaj of the world, are being cheated in one way by the Supreme Lord. So Maharaj Parikshit is being encouraged. Although Maharaj Bali behaved mischievously, I mean Krishna behaved mischievously towards Bali Maharaj, what was the Bali Maharaj's reaction? He was fixed in his determination. And what was he thinking? That I have not fulfilled my promise to the Supreme Lord. My promise is to give 3 footsteps of land. And he's fixed that I have not fulfilled. He was not thinking, oh, the Lord has expanded his leg or his form. Similarly, Maharaj Parikshit, even though was punished for a small mistake, I was not thinking that actually let us analyze why this boy did the mistake, or boy's father should have excused me or did some arrangement. He just accepted the arrangement of the Supreme Lord with great determination. In fact, Maharaj Parikshit was thinking that let whatever bad thing happen come to me immediately, because I have done some small mistake of putting the dead snake around the sage's body. So in this way, Maharaj Bali, that was the beginning verse of this chapter, 8.22.1. And then we see Maharaj Bali offering various prayers. And here, many demons, Maharaj Bali is now glorifying the Supreme Lord's magnanimity. He is telling that many demons who are continuously inimical towards the Supreme Lord, they also got the perfection of mystic yoga. He is saying, such are your glorious and great nature that those who are opposed to you, you give them mystic perfection. Like demons have these siddhis, they can, Mayavi Siddhis, they can make their forms disappear, fly in the sky, create some illusory chariots. You see Ravan doing all these things, Meghna doing all these things, tricks with Ram and everyone. So demons, they do these tricks. So they are not, actually demons, sometimes they perform mystic yoga, sometimes they don't. But anyway, they have the mystic powers. And Bali Maharaj, actually Bali Maharaj was a devotee, but here Prabhupada is clarifying, many of his party people were actual demons. They had nothing to do with Krishna, and in fact they are opposed to Krishna. But still by Krishna's mercy they got all the mystic powers. So sometimes here also in this material world, we'll see that some demonic people for some short time get some mystic powers. In the sense, some powerful positions like president, prime minister. I'm not saying that always they are demonic. But sometimes they, in Kali Yuga it can be like that. But sometimes they get powerful positions like ministers. And actually, that is the qualification today. The more you are cunning and cheating and manipulating, you can get the positions of this power in a better way. So, Maharaj, Bali Maharaj is glorifying. And then, now what position he takes for himself? He says, my demons, means my followers' demons, they were not devotees and they got the positions, same positions, which are achieved by exalted mystic yogis. So he understood that, that is Lord's mercy. He says, similarly, I am being now cheated here. What type of cheating or punishment was given to Bali Maharaj? He was defeated thoroughly and actually insulted. Not only, see, a king, a chakravarti. Sometimes we also, actually ego is there, so we also feel ashamed to offer obeisances to someone. In after being devotee for some long time. And here, Maharaj Bali is forcefully made to offer obeisance to the Supreme Lord, which everyone doesn't know. For a king to offer respects to anyone else in front of his own people, because in front of his own people, everyone is respecting him. As soon as he walks, everyone stands up, offers him fan, offers him chamar, offers him some drinking water, offers him garland, offers him scent, offers him aarti. Everyone there is behaving to try to please the Supreme Lord, not Lord, but the king, and with all respect and honor. And in front of all of them, suppose the king is disrespected. If he is disrespected alone, it's not such an injury to the consciousness, such hurting. But if you are insulted, it's like, suppose two of you are there, somewhere in dark corner in the forest, and someone beats you. It's insulting, but still, you see, no one is there, it's okay. But if someone insults you in a witty station, beats you, then it's insulting, but still, you might say, no one knows me here. But someone insults you in amongst the people whom everyone knows you nicely. And not only that, if you are a very powerful person, everyone is respecting you, and there, here we see Bali Maharaj is not only defeated, not only all his kingdom has been taken away from him, he's tied like a thief by the ropes, and he's standing with his head low. Apparently, he had never made his head low up till now. In the mind, he has made for the Supreme Lord. But before that, he has never made. In front of his associates, demonic people, his court and his ministers, he has never made his head low. So Bali Maharaj's conclusion is, O Supreme Lord, you play many tricks. And in one act, you have many aims. So here, apparently you are insulting me or put me in awkward position. But I am not unhappy. And I am not ashamed. Sometimes it happens. When we are giving a public lecture for a preacher, it may happen in front of, say, it is the one of the most important lecture up till now. 5,000 people are there. And we get stuck up. And everyone is looking, what's happening? But actually, in every act, it may happen in such a way. Or suppose you are just walking, suppose you are going entering some new place where you are welcomed for some, your ceremony is there just to respect you, glorify you. And you are walking and you slip and fall down on the stage. Sometimes it happens and we feel a lot of ashamed or uneasiness. Similarly here he is saying, I am not feeling any unhappiness or I am not ashamed because of the position in which I have been put by the Supreme Lord. Because he knew by one act, Krishna has many aims, he gets many things done. So knowing that, he is happy, he is waiting for things to unfold. In our spiritual life also, many things unfold in due course of time. Sometimes we are in the highs, crest, a wave has a crest and trough, a wave motion. So samsara, we are in the crest, on the top, things are going nice, market is high, and then everyone is respecting me. People are thinking that I am a great devotee. Then everything is fine. Taranga rangini, like surfing on the waves. And then suddenly, one day we find, no, I have been removed from my position. My financial losses are increasing. No one respects me. I was a counselor before, I am no more a counselor, or something like that. Or I was a president, and no, I am not a president. And somehow or other, I did a big mistake. Maybe I might broke some regular principle, and I did some financial mistake. And everyone in the devotees know it. So it might happen in a devotional life. Up and down. And you think, why actually? But actually Krishna has many things. You should just patiently wait. Take everything as Krishna's blessing. Try to improve our spiritual life and go ahead. Ups and downs will come. And by one act, Krishna will make many things happen. So here Bali Maharaj is down now. He was up. He was the king, unrivaled king, all the demons at his order. Famous as a grandson of Prahlad, son of Virochan. Everything on his side. And suddenly one day everything is over. One moment. Even Shukracharya warns him, don't do. Still, everything is over. But again, he knows something. Krishna is his own plan. About this philosophy, why do devotees sometimes suffer? Srila Vishwanatha Chakri Thakur makes some good points in the 10th canto, 88th chapter. I think that is chapter is after the chapter of prayers of personified Vedas. Yeah, prayers of personified Vedas is 87th chapter. In the 88th chapter, Vishwanatha Chakri Thakur makes these good points, especially in the verse 8. Why does the devotees of Supreme Lord suffer in this material world? So first point he makes, the devotees of Supreme Lord experience both happiness and distress, not as consequences of material work. So devotees like Bali Maharaj and others, they neither undergo happiness, neither sufferings as a result of their material work. But these are incidental effects of their loving reciprocation with the Lord. So the sufferings and happiness of a devotee in this material world is a result of devotee's reciprocation with the Lord. The devotee's suffering is not born of our past reactions, which are called as kuta bicha, aprarabdh, kutam bijam prarabdham falon mukham. Even the reactions which have not arisen yet, they are aprarabdham. That is also not the cause of devotee's suffering. Because as soon as devotee takes to spiritual life, all his past reactions are washed away. And Vishwanatha Chakri Thakur gives an example, just like a lotus, if kept for some time, what happens? Slowly, slowly his petals falls off. Only the stem remains. But similarly, just if we continue in devotional service, slowly, slowly all the petals of sinful life, even the unmanifested one, which are not seen now, fall off our devotee. So the devotee's suffering and pleasure is not coming from his past reactions, but they are coming from the direct results of his devotional service. How can we understand? By the results of his devotional service, we can understand a devotee get pleasures. That's okay. We get good name, fame, money by the result of devotional service. But sometimes devotees get a big amount of suffering. Sometimes they get caught up in some terrible situation. Their body gets even damaged. Sometimes there's some hand operation or something, fracture or some more serious thing than that. So how does that happen by the effects of devotional service? Here the next point. Before going to the next point, he says it appears that devotee suffers because of his past reactions. It appears, yes. But Vishwanatha Thakur says there is a big difference between the two sufferings. What is that big difference? He says, one who suffers out of his past reactions as a part of his suffering. One part is, like, suppose something bad happens to me and I do some wrong actions, sometimes like wrong speech or something. Apparently, like, Maharaj Parikshit put up a snake. So it was a bad reaction, bad action. So the result of our past reactions is that we are further entangled in the cycle of birth and death. There is kutam. Kutam means tendency. Say, suppose if I do some sinful activity now, one type of result is I will get a sinful reaction. That is okay. But more dangerous reaction is the sinful proclivity or tendency in my heart gets increased. So it's not that I do sinful activity and I get a reaction, things are over. I do a sinful activity, I get a reaction. But more than that, dangerous is my tendency to perform sins goes on increasing. So he says, similarly, if someone gets bad or good reactions, by that his tendency to remain in this world, to enjoy bad and good, goes on increasing. That is the natural result of a good and bad coming from past reactions. But if Shojanagari points out that good and bad coming by devotional service doesn't further entangle him. That is a big difference. Good and bad coming from past actions further entangles us in this material world. But good and bad coming from our past, from devotional service, doesn't entangle us. And in fact, he says such actions by devotional service, they lead us more and more closer to the Supreme Lord. And then further he says, the devotees of the Lord, actually they don't consider suffering as suffering. That is a devotee. So you should understand, if suffering comes to us, not only very gross, but subtle also, especially in the form of insult or losing a respect. Some physical pain is more easy to tolerate. Some financial pain may be a little more difficult, but easy to tolerate. But subtle pains, it is said, if you injure someone, he can be cured easily. But if you speak insulting words to someone, that is, if you injure his consciousness, it's very difficult to cure. See, in our life of past 20, 30 years, we might remember that I fell down once and I was fractured. That's what, as a history we remember. But we remember the words of insults that were spoken to us very lively in our past life. So that is a very deep injury. So here, the devotees of the Lord do not regard the troublesomes in their life as suffering. Indeed, they find that such troubles give rise to unlimited pleasures. And they know this suffering to devotees has another purpose also. Vishnu Thakur says, another purpose is to keep those who are not having proper faith, they are like semi-faithful or faithless, people away from devotional service. Like when Narad Muni glorifies Pandavas as great devotees, Yudhishthira Maharaj says this point, like we underwent so much suffering, insult, poison, this, that. So Yudhishthira Maharaj says, we are not good exemplary devotees. Because if another new people sees, oh, Yudhishthira Maharaj is a devotee, and what happened? He underwent through poison cakes, his kingdom was taken away, his wife was insulted, he was vanvas for 12 years, anyat was for 1 year, again this and again that. Some may say, it's very dangerous to become devotee. So Yudhishthira Maharaj made this point that Narad Muni, you are telling I am a great devotee, but my life doesn't encourage people to become devotee. So that's the discussion happening. So here there is one purpose of suffering to devotee's life is to keep the faithless away from intruding into the devotional service. Those who are faithless, they don't have proper faith in Supreme Lord's mercy. For them to not allow in the inner circles of devotional service, sometimes devotees undergo suffering. Also, there one or two more reasons why devotees suffer, Vishnu Thakur gives. Another reason is, when they apparently suffer, it increases the eagerness with which the devotees call upon the Supreme Lord. Sometimes it happens when we suffer, when physically, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, we call out the Supreme Lord. That's what कुंती महाराणी प्रेड विपद असन तुझा अस शोध. लेट ऑल द कॅलॅमिटीज कम अपॉन अस अगेन अँड अगेन सो दॅट वी रिमेंबर यू प्रॉपरली. अँड अगेन देर इज वन मोर या विश्वनाथ ठाकूर आफ्टर डिस्कसिंग ही हिमसेल्फ रेजेस अ काउंटर ऑब्जेक्शन. ही सेज पीपल मे आस्क वॉट फॉल्ट वुड बी देअर इफ डिवोटीज डोंट सफर इन कृष्णा कम्स. लाईक बरी महाराज इज रुलिंग अँड जस्ट कृष्णा अपियर्स, दॅट्स ऑल. वामनदेव अपियर्स, देर इज नो फॉल्ट अँड नो चिटिंग अँड नो सफरिंग ऑन बली महाराज पार्ट्स ऑर लाईक दॅट डिवोटीज. वाय इज द पांडव सिन्स चाइल्डहुड ली कौरव शुड हॅव बीन किल्ड अँड पांडव हॅज बिकम किंग अँड एव्हरीथिंग इज ओके अँड देन कृष्णा कम्स अँड स्टेज. Why the devotees have to suffer for the Krishna's incarnations to happen? This doubt Acharya may ask. Acharya says some people may ask. And Vaishnava Chakra Thakur, he himself answers. He says, my dear brother, in his words, your question makes good sense that why the devotees have to suffer for Krishna to appear. But you are not expert in understanding the spiritual moods. Therefore, you are asking this question. Then he goes on to say further, it's during the hot summer that cold water appears pleasing. And it's during cold winter, warm water is satisfying. He says the sun appears bright only after the dark night. And similarly, the importance of light is understood in the darkness. And similarly, he says, when somebody is distressed by hunger, food appears especially tasty at that time. I had a recent experience of this yesterday only. Everyone has. Because we are having this Sanskrit classes in the evening, 7 to 9. So my dinner timing is washed off. And so I was thinking what to do after 9, 9.30. It's lot, and too much hunger and late in the night to eat. And then before 7 o'clock, there is no fresh prasadam. And yesterday I was feeling very hungry at 6 o'clock only. So I was thinking what to do. It was too much beyond my normal capacity to tolerate the hunger and nothing available. And when you are hungry, actually hungry, all these fancy things doesn't satisfy you. They are fancy things for extra timings. Fancy, you can't take a cake or burfi. That is not when you are fully hungry. So I was thinking, I need something. I can't wait till 9 o'clock. And then I just decided what it is. Anything that is remaining of the afternoon prasad, I will go in it. Fortunately, rice, dal, sabji, three items were there. Only one plate full of rice was there. When I went down and saw in the bucket, actually two men's rice was there. It was perfect arrangement. One half I took and half was remaining. So at 6:35 when I started eating, one Sevasthan devotee came. Means one who is serving in the Sevasthan. He said, Prabhuji, we need some prasad for Sikh devotee right now. He has to take medicines right now and he has to have prasad. I said, that's correct. Two people's rice is remaining from the afternoon quota. So you take half, I take half. And then I ate simple, it may be apparently afternoons, rice, dal, sabji, and not the non-spicy one which I ate. It was a spicy one remaining, little hot for me. But it was, hunger was powerful. And when you are hungry, any food tastes tasty. So that was the experience which I had yesterday evening itself. So here he says, when one is hungry, actually, the food especially tastes good. In another word, Vishwanath Thakur points out, to strengthen the devotee's mood of dependence on the Supreme Lord and longing for the Lord, the Lord arranges for his devotees to go through some suffering. And when he appears at that time in order to deliver them, their gratitude and transcendental pleasures are boundless. Like, we may be thinking, why is Krishna not appearing? I am now chanting for 20 years. Or 10 years, 5 years. Why it is so? Even after 20 years, I don't feel any ecstasy. The holy names are not sweet. They are still bitter. It's not. If it's sweet, we have experience of eating some Shikhand Puri. Sometimes I say devotees, they chant holy names and it's a great trouble. So Krishna says holy names are sweet. So you should eat, chant holy names in a similar way as we eat Shikhand Puri. We eat Shikhand Puri very nicely, joyfully. But to chant holy names is trouble. So we are, what happening is 15, 20 years. And sometimes not much decrease in lust, anger, envy, same thing. So after such long trouble, long pain and long fight, suppose just think, we are into Krishna consciousness, 1 week chanting, and then Krishna appears. We say, okay, Krishna, you sit there, I'll take some Mahaprasad and comfort. We won't understand the Krishna's mercy properly. But after 30, 40 years of severe sadhana bhakti, very ups and downs and pains and pleasures, and then if you get Krishna, so Krishna will wait till the time we get, understand the full value of achieving Krishna. Till the time we understand full value of achieving Krishna, we have to go on this sadhana bhakti. So much pains and troubles. Because only after that, when Krishna appears, the things will be full of pleasure and gratitude. And transcendental pleasure will be there. So in this way, Vishwanatha Thakur explains this point. And then here we are seeing the glories of Bali Maharaj. Actually, Bali Maharaj, there is some reference of his coming in Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrut, where Narad Muni goes on to search for the best devotees of the Supreme Lord. Not best, but one who is the most dear to Krishna and one who has got most mercy of Krishna. And while traveling all over the world, he reaches Prahlad Maharaj's place. He says, Prahlad Maharaj, just let me open the right page. He starts glorifying Prahlad Maharaj. He says, oh Maharaj Prahlad, you are in the very distressful condition. See, the devotees are always in a distressful condition. Because that increases the importance of Lord's appearance and that increases the devotees waiting for the Supreme Lord, His love. He says, Prahlad Maharaj, after Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, Nrisimhadev requested you again and again to accept some opulences, accept some kingdom, and then you did not accept it. Prahlad did not accept, we know. In fact, Prahlad was not even ready to accept going to the spiritual world. He said, I don't want to ask even that. Whatever you decide, I am ready. And then, after some time, Prahlad agrees to become the king in place of Hiranyakashipu. This may raise some doubt, like how Prahlad was saying, I don't want that. Even Prahlad first refused spiritual elevation to the kingdom of God. It may be a little curious. He refused, and now he is accepting the position of the kingdom of a material world, Hiranyakashipu's position. So Narad Muni glorifies Prahlad. Some people may have doubt on your behavior or character. But I know you accepted this because you had a special hankering in your heart. What was Prahlad's hankering? To become a king? No, his hankering was to free all the people of this material world and send them back to the spiritual world. So he said, if I become a king, maybe I can do something in this field to liberate all the people in this material world. And only for that, he accepted the position of being a king in place of his father. And Narad Muni says, Prahlad, you do not worry that by becoming the king, you will be involved in politics and your own spiritual interest may be endangered. Just to deliver all the people of the world, you accepted the position of the king. And therefore, you are always being protected by the Supreme Lord Prahlad. Prahlad prays like that in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. Then Narad Muni goes ahead to glorify Prahlad Maharaj. He says, in fact, Supreme Lord, he declares, and I have been conquered by you, O Prahlad. Where he declared, there is a story in another Puran, in Vaman Puran. In Vaman Puran, there is a nice story of this incident. Once Prahlad Maharaj decided to visit Naimisharanya. And he heard in Naimisharanya, the Lord stays in a very unique form, wearing yellow colored garments. And his form's name is Pitavas. Pitavas means Vamsamsi, cloth, and Pita means yellow. So yellow colored Supreme Lord. And therefore, Prahlad took a journey to Naimisharanya. As he approached Naimisharanya and he entered it, he saw a mendicant, a person in the dress of a mendicant, but he was having the instruments of a warrior. So he thought, this is some bogus sannyasi. and he is misusing the instructions of Dharma. And therefore, he started fighting with him. And before fighting, Prahlad as a Kshatriya took a vow that I will defeat you. And that mendicant, who he also took up his weapons and started fighting with Prahlad. The fight went on for many, many days. In fact, a few weeks maybe. And no one was winning. So before beginning fight one day morning, Prahlad had taken out his Ishtadev Vigraha and worshipping them. After worshipping, he was going to fight the mendicant. And while worshipping, he had put a garland on the Vigraha. And when he stood up to fight with that mendicant, he saw the garland which he has put on the Vigraha on the neck of the mendicant. And he understood that, oh, he is the same Supreme Lord Pitavas, whom I am come to searching in this Nimishananda forest. And therefore, instead of fighting, he offered his obeisances and started glorifying the Lord with prayers and everything. And Lord also was happy, gave him the darshan in his original form as Pitavas. And then Prahlad asked, but what about my promise of a Kshatriya? That I will defeat you. That is not being fulfilled because our fight is not yet finished. The Lord says, don't worry. I am always defeated by you. Lord says this verse, Jita Asmi. I am always be defeated by, conquered by you. And Narada starts glorifying, oh Prahlad, you are such a person that Lord himself told you that you are always conquering the Supreme Lord, or Supreme Lord is always defeating you. And Narad Muni makes an extension. He doesn't say Jita Asmi, means conquered by the Supreme Lord. He says Jita Asma Bhi, means conquered by all of us. So he says, Narad Muni says, all the duties are conquered by the Supreme Lord. Not only Prahlad, but all the duties of Supreme Lord have conquered him. And to make his point that all duties have conquered the Supreme Lord, he goes on to say, Narad goes on to say to Prahlad, what about you, Prahlad? Not only you, even your grandson, son of Virochan, Bali had conquered the Supreme Lord. And there's some story to this effect. In Skanda Puran, Prabhas Khanda, in Prahlad Samhita. There is Skanda Puran, there is Prabhas Khanda, in that there is Prahlad Samhita. The story, what happens once? What happens once? Once Dwarka city was there. And Dwarka city was at the same time attacked by 10 different demons. Very dangerous situation for Dwarka city. And at that time, Durvas Muni was in the town, means in Dwarka town. And all the leaders of Dwarka, they assembled together for an emergency meeting. Like 10 demons are attacking from 10 directions. The city is under danger, what should be done? So they made a committee or delegation headed by Durvas Muni to go and meet Lord Vamandev in Sutal Lok. You know, after Bali Maharaj's incident is over, Bali Maharaj was sent down to Sutal Lok. And the Lord took a vow that I will always stay with him as a watchman, as a guard. And that will be my service to the Bali Maharaj. And he's staying there always. So Durvas Muni was the head of the chairman of the delegation to go and request Vamandev to come to Dwarka and protect Dwarka. So Durvas Muni went at the gate of Sutal Lok and beseeched Vamandev, please, you come. Vamandev, you see what he answered. I'll read Sanskrit and then explain the translation. Paradhino asmi viprendra bhakti kritosmi nanyatha baler adeshakari cha daitendra vashagahyam. Paradhina asmi viprendra. Indra means the best and vipra means brahmanas. O best of brahmanas Durvas, I am paradhina. I am under the control of someone else. Bhakti krito asmi nanyatha. I have been conquered by bhakti. Krita means conquered. There is nothing else about me. Only thing is I have been conquered by bhakti. Baleher adeshat adeshakari cha. And what is my role now? I am just carrying out the orders of Bali Maharaj. Balehe adeshakari. My role is adeshakari. Daitendra vasha gah aham. And gah means I walk. I walk only as per the desires of Daitendra, that is Bali Maharaj, the king of demons. So, the supreme brahmana, I am not independent. I am controlled by the king of demons. He is telling a supreme Brahmana Durvasmi, no, Lord is telling, I am controlled by the king of demons. I can't act independently because I am being purchased by bhakti. So what should Durvas do now? He stated the fact. Tasmat prarthaya viprendra. O viprendra, you do prarthana. To whom? Daityam virochanam balim. Vairochanam balim. Don't do prarthana to me, but do prarthana to Bali Maharaj. Asya adeshat karishyami yad abhishta tvaya aduna. What are you desire now? Durvasmani, what are you desire now? If he orders me, I will immediately do it. So please go and pray to Bali Maharaj. And then the delegation of Durvasmani goes to Bali Maharaj that the situation is very tense in Dwarka. Please release Vamandev for few days. It's like our service in charge situation in the temple. Always some department head is going here and there and asking. Therefore, Bali Maharaj answers. He says, it's not possible. That's a typical answer also here. Very difficult to release devotees. And then Durvasamuni, he goes on the most ancient hunger strike heard up till now. He says, if you don't release Vamandev, I will go on hunger strike. I will sit here in fast until death. Bali Maharaj says, Yad bhavyam tad bhavatu te. You do fasting or do anything. I don't care. Yad bhavyam tad bhavatu te. Yad janasi tatha koru. Whatever you desire, you do. Now, if you want to fast, you fast. If you want to do anything, you do. Brahma rudradi namitam naham tekshe padam doyam. Those two lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and to him, Brahma and Shiva offer obeisances, I am not going to release them. So, Durvas Muni could not do anything, but most probably he might have to. I don't know what happens in the future. But that's the story that's being told here. Maybe you have to read Skanda Puran for that, if it tells what happens in the future. But that's the glories of Bali Maharaj, that he could even say no to Durvas Muni that you cannot take Vamandev. Vamandev was under complete his control. So, actually, I was thinking to end the class here today. It's our regular time, but today, nowadays, because of Janata Ashtakam, 5-10 minutes are extra given. I hope so. Anyway, what happens in the past 2-3 classes where I have spoken, not in temple, but outside, after the class, devotees came up to me. Prabhuji, what is this? We heard you are going to, like I went to Thana and few other places around Bombay. So Prabhuji, what is this? When we heard that you are going to come and give class, we came and we were thought that we will be hearing something about cows. But aapne kuch bola hi nahi aaj. So I thought, no, it's like a trademark. So I have to speak something. So anyway, I speak one last pastime of Krishna Leela. It also shows that how the devotees become surrendered or come under the control of the Supreme Lord. And what is, not devotees, the Supreme Lord comes under the control of devotees. So here, in Vallabhacharya, he glorifies or he says four things are on an equal level. He says, Uktam Bhagavatam Nityam Krutam Cha Harisevanam Tulsi Poshanam Chaiva Dhenuna Sevanam Samam. What is on the equal level? Uktam Bhagavatam. To hear Srimad Bhagavat. Krut Nityam Krutam Cha Hari Chintanam Harisevanam. To serve the Supreme Lord or hear about the Supreme Lord. Chintan. To remember Supreme Lord, also on an equal level. Tulsi Poshanam, to water Tulsi Maharani. And Dhenuna Sevanam Samam, to serve the cows. And serving cows doesn't mean only donating, as I made on the 13th December. It means going and serving in a Tunadapi Sunichena way. Cleaning the place. It may feel little awkward, but it is said in some scriptures that if you remove insects from the body of the cows, one insect if you remove, millions of sinful reactions are removed by that action. So, not just, yes, those who have, so actually to serve cows doesn't require any money. You can just go and do the most simple thing, broom the place, pick up the gobar, or scratch the cows, or whatever, already grass is there, you just pick them up and feed it to them. Very simple. But that's give rise to, Vallabhacharya says, give rise to Jnana and Vairagya, which is very helpful for spiritual path. And therefore, actually, if we see in the past, all the spiritual ashramas of saints, Rishi, Munis, devotees, Tapasvis, everyone had a cowshed in their place. And then further, Lord Ram, in Ramayana, he promises that in this avatar, I could not do much go-seva. So, but in the next avatar, when I come, I will completely do my dedicate my life and glorify serving the Supreme Lord. So, Lord serving the cows. Actually, if you see, the place of the Supreme Lord is known by the place of Vrunda Devi, Tulsi Maharani and cows. We say Golok Vrindavan or Gokul Vrindavan. So, it's one of forest of Tulsi Maharani, which is very important for devotees, and also the service to the cows. Then, I just like to tell one story. Bilvamangal Thakur in Krishna Karnamrut, he says one verse, which I will say in the end. But before that, he says how Krishna is controlled by those to whom cows are very dear. He begins glorifying Krishna. He says, your pastimes means pastimes of with cows. When the Krishna was born in Mathura with Vasudev and Devaki, Vasudev immediately decided, because he could not do physically, in the mind that when I can do in the future, when I am released, I will donate 10 lakh pious vini cows. And when Krishna was brought to the Nanda Maharaj and there was Nandotsav the next day, Nanda Maharaj gave 20 lakh cows in donation. He says, your life began that way. And then, when Putana was killed, we know this verse, famous from Srimad Bhagavatam, many times it has been quoted, that Krishna was bathed with cow urine and the tilak was put off cow dung and the whole dust from cow's feet was applied on his whole body. So actually, go seva, go prem means gavya prem. Gavya prem means all this, gobar, cow urine, milk, everything. We cannot love the holy cows and not love these items. As I said, on that Sunday feast, among the 84 lakh species, there is only one species whose dung doesn't smell bad. Whose stool doesn't smell bad. Only one species is there. All other 80, Krishna made it very clear. 83,999,999 species. Everyone's dung smell bad except one species. So it made it very clear. So go prem means gavya prem. And here Krishna himself is doing, setting the example. He is being bathed by cow urine. And then cow dust. And then cow dung. And then the tail of cow is being used to brush Krishna. Tail of cow. The hair. So all these things are important. Then Krishna, Bilvamangal Thakur goes on to say, when Krishna becomes little bigger, when he can, Putana was killed at a very young age. He was only few weeks or few months. Not even few months. Few weeks only. Nanda Maharaj was yet to come from, few days old. Nanda Maharaj was yet to come from Mathura. Then Krishna became few months old. He started sitting. Then Mother Yashoda would take Krishna and put him in a nice garden of Nanda Maharaj. Beautiful, clean garden made up of many pearls and valuable gems. But Krishna would not like to sit there. He had beautiful toys given by Yashoda Mata. He would crawl and go to the places where cows and cow would play. And their dust was present. And baby Krishna would crawl to that place. And while crawling into that place, he would cover himself fully with the dust of the calves and cows. And Mother Yashoda would say, oh, I put Krishna here down and he is not there. She would search for him and she would say, oh, Krishna has gone to the place amongst cows. And she would immediately run, being fearful that maybe some calf might step on Krishna, who is yet a small baby. Or some calf may lovingly poke the horn, but Krishna might get hurt. So she would immediately go and pick up Krishna. But Krishna's joy was not sitting amongst the beautiful garden of pearls and toys. But his joy was to go amongst the place where there is dust of the calves. Then when he grew little elder, when he could started walking, still he was small. At that time, we know Nanda Maharaj had 1 lakh special cows called Padmagandha. Their smell, a nice fragrance would come from the cows, which was of a lotus flower. Not only cows, on their milk, their butter, their ghruta ghee, even cow dung and cow urine of those Padmagandha cows would give a beautiful fragrance, like a lotus flower. I go to a place by a train called Matsyagandha. So that place is famous because the fragrance is there of the dried fish. If you pass, you can get that. That's the famous. Now, in Kali Yuga, we don't have Padmagandha, but we have Matsyagandha and so many other Gandhas in Bombay. If you walk around, in the local train, it is Sweat Gandha. And if you go walk on the road, it is Smoke Gandha, something like that. But that Padmagandha cows, everything, cow dung, urine, milk, curd, would give out a natural fragrance. And Krishna would drink milk from those cows. And then, when Krishna was free, you know, he could walk around. Like when the children walk, start walking around, they become more mischievous. When they are not walking, it's easy for the parents to take care of them. And sometimes some parents say, "Choda bacha toh achha tha, ek jagah pe soke rehta tha." Now they are walking out to where he has gone, is he climbing the stairs or going down the stairs, something, what is eating. So when Krishna started walking, here, and on the verse, he says, Pankabhishikta sakalam vayavam vilokya. That Krishna would go to a special place among this Padmagandha cows. This Padmagandha cows in the cow shed would naturally pass cow dung and cow urine. And as it happens in the present day cow sheds, when they mix up, it becomes what you call it, mud. But it is not called mud in Sanskrit, it's called keech. Or actually in good Sanskrit language, it's called kardama. A mixture of cow dung and cow urine. And also of the dust of the cows. All three mixed. And Krishna would slowly take small steps, careful steps, and walk to the cow shed among such kardam, among such keech, and sits among it. And Baldev, Dauji would also sit with him. And they both would take this kardam or this keech, mixture of cow dung, urine and dust, and would start bathing each other with them. Just hearing them, somebody is feeling uneasiness. But Krishna would bathe with that. And then Mother Yashoda would see that. Hey, what is our baby Krishna doing? Not baby, but still boy, child Krishna. She would see that he is sitting amongst the mud of cow dung, urine and the dust and bathing each other. Then she would say this verse, Panka Abhishikta Sakala Vayavam Vilokya. After seeing Krishna being fully bathed by this panka or kardam, Damodaram Vadati, she would call out, "Hey Damodar, Kopa Vashad," being little angry, Masadeshwar would say, "Hey Damodar, what are you doing? Tvam Sukarosi Gata Janmani Drushtaye." It appears that you are Sukar in the past life. Hog or boar. Krishna would smile and say, "Yes, that is correct. I was Varadev in the past life." Ityukta Sasmita. Sasmita means with a smile. Sasmita Mukha. Murari would say, "Yes, what you are telling is correct. In the past life I was Varadev and now I am playing in this mud of dung and urine and the dust." Then, at that time when Krishna would become little more big, again he would go to the cow shed. When the calves were little small, cows especially, they are, anything new comes, they first, what they do? Our Sharbhut Prabhu knows, he is telling by his action. They first smells it. When Krishna would walk into the cow shed, he would give out a very fragrant aroma of this lotus flower. And when calves would notice a good fragrance coming in their cow shed, in calf shed, immediately they would go, some new item has come, and they would start smelling Krishna. And as soon as they would smell beautiful Krishna, just by the smell of the Krishna fragrance, they would start jumping up and down. And then Krishna was also mischievous, and he would go and catch the tail of the calves, and then calf would get stunned by the touch of Krishna and start running around. We know this pastime. Actually, once we are, Jagannath Puri is here, and once we are in Vrindavan, maybe 5-6 years back, and we were traveling in bus, he had made this, what do you call it, that competition, that previously we would do of picture songs, one person says, Antakshari, something like that. So Jagannath Puri has arranged a competition, not Antakshari, but of the names of the Supreme Lord. Now we have to go on saying the names of Supreme Lord more and more and more. So one, who was that devotee? He came here yesterday, I forgot his initiated name. So everyone was speaking names of Supreme Lord. We spoke around few hundred names of Supreme Lord. And then all the names were almost exhausted. And we are all said, "No, we don't remember any more name which has not been spoken up till now." And suddenly this devotee raised his hand. He said, I know three names. Huh? I said, what is that? I was always looking up to him. He said, three very easy. Shantaram, Atmaram, and Ghasitaram. So this Ghasitaram is this Leela where baby Krishna is catching the tail of calf and he's being pulled around in the cowshed by the calves. So with that is Krishna. And then Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he says this final verse, which is very beautiful. Bilwa Mangal in his Krishna Karnamrut, he says, Gopal Arjar Kardame Viharase Prab Dhavare Lanjase. Oh Krishna, you very eagerly go into the mud of cow dung, cow urine and dust. But when there is a time to go to the yanyasthalis of Brahmanas, you feel ashamed to go there. You don't go there. Then he says, when Brahmaji comes in front of you to offer prayers, you look around at another place. But when the calves, okay, first, this is third point. The second point is, he says, when Brahmaji comes and speaks prayers to you, when Brahmaji does stuti, you keep silent. But when the cows come in the evening, and when they start calling the calves, you know their language and starts reciprocating the language of the calves. So when Brahmaji prays, glories, you keep quiet. And when the cows start making their sound in the evening, remembering their calves, you know their language and you start reciprocating them in their language. And then Bilwa Mangal Thakur says, and when Brahmaji comes in front of you, you look at another third direction as if nothing is happening. You completely neglect him. And when the small calves call you, you immediately run and embrace them tightly. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur says, now I understood you, Krishna. Last, Nyatam Krishna Tavangri Pankaja Yuga Premanjala Manjula. So I understood, O Krishna, you have attraction to only those who have your attraction to the cows. So that's how Bilwa Mangal Thakur has prayed. And I end here, already I've taken over time. Sorry for that. Hare Krishna. Ganatharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.